Welcome this morning to what is a little different church service than we normally do. So if you're a visitor here, I hope you'll be able to put up with that. But you can also learn a lot about who we are and what the Lord is calling us to in the coming year. So this is, like many, many churches, on this actual Sunday is what we call kickoff Sunday. That's because, I don't know why, we like football. Nancy started with that song. It's actually a song. It's called Drop Kick Me Jesus Through the Goalposts of Life. It is, yeah. I know every word of it. And it actually was nominated for a Grammy. I don't know if you realize that. In 1977, it was nominated for a Grammy. Bobby Bear was the one who made it famous. And it's actually theologically more correct than you might think. Simply because it's Jesus' foot that puts you through the goalposts of life. Not yourself, you see? It's got lots of good stuff in it. Anyway, but we're not going to get into that today. What we are going to do, though, is I'll explain what's going to happen. We're going to have a number of people. Some people will be talking about many ministries that are happening. Some people will be talking about the ministry they're directly involved with. And then we're going to end with me sharing kind of an overarching sense of the vision for the church. We're going to have, we'll see whether God directs us into a ministry time. Then we're going to have a shared meal after that. And so you're all welcome to stay, even if you didn't bring any food. How many are here and they didn't bring any food today? That's okay. We need you to eat the food, okay? So stay and be part of that as well. But let's bow our heads and pray and just invite the Lord to come and fill this service with excitement, with faith, and with His joy this morning. Lord, we, as we move into this Sunday or into this coming new year, we want to be filled with your faith, with your joy, with your expectation of what you want to do and what you will do through each of us and through this body of believers in the coming year. We pray that, Lord, your grace would be upon us, your hand and favor would be upon us, and we pray that we would be all that you want us to be this coming year, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay, well, we're going to start the ministry talks with me. Now, we're going to also have over here is where the ministry people will come up. I've handed out where you're going to be speaking at different spots, and we have a mic for you, so please pick up the mic and turn it on. There's a button here that turns it on. Right here, and I think then the select button. I've used it before, honey. It's not that complicated. Anyway, there's two buttons on it. One turns it on, one moves it to a channel. But let's start then with, I'm going to talk a little bit about what's coming up right away. And that's Alpha. So, what is Alpha? There's a short video that's going to explain what Alpha is. I know some of you or many of you might have already signed up. It's certainly not too late to sign up or to invite people to come. One of the big things about Alpha is it accomplishes two things. Do you know what Alpha means? Beginning. So Alpha is kind of like a place where people who are beginning their journey with Christ, or they're not sure about God. So it's a place where they begin. It's that place where they their faith can get launched. Maybe they're brand new Christians and they need to know more about what this whole thing is. Or maybe they don't know God at all. And it's a way to introduce them to the concepts of the Christian faith. So here's a short video that explains what that's all about.
Life moves fast, doesn't it? Every day there is so much to fit in. But do you ever stop and think, What's the point of it all? Do you ever ask yourself, is there more to life than this? Alpha is a series of sessions exploring life, faith, and meaning. It's a space to explore the big questions, to say what you think and hear other people's points of view. First up, there's food, then a talk, followed by a discussion. Each talk explores a different aspect of the Christian faith, and then in a small group, you get to say exactly what you think. The aim of the talk is to spark conversation, each week unpacking a different question. There's no obligation to say anything, and there's nothing you can't say. Seriously. It's an opportunity to hear from others and contribute your own perspective in an honest, friendly, and open environment. Why not try it out?
So it's our desire at the beginning of this year to actually invite as many people in the church that want to come to this to come, and also to pray about who they can invite to come. And it's open, so people can come, they can come to the first one and not come again if they don't like it. They can come, start coming at any point along the way. I think it's good to see it all, you know. I think they should go through the series. It's 11 weeks. But I just want you to realize, I think that any exposure that somebody who doesn't know Jesus will get to the gospel message, I think is positive and good. So we keep it open for people to come and to experience both fellowship and also the message of the gospel that is sort of in each Alpha video as they go through it. We are actually putting our community groups on hold, except for one, during this stretch of time to allow for people that are part of the community groups to come out to Alpha if they want to and participate. So Alpha will go from September 18th right through to November 27th is the last Wednesday. So it's Wednesday. The start time for Alpha is at 5:36. Now that sounds not great, but here's what I'm saying to you. Dinner's at 6. So if you want a coffee and hang out a little bit before that, then come a little bit earlier, but dinner will be served at 6, and then the Alpha video starts at 7. Okay? So that's Alpha. And what I'm going to do now is bring up the community groups people. So Gloria Scott, Debbie Calvert, Lee Bishop, who are the ones that are running our current community groups, and they're going to come up and share just a little bit of what they're going to do in the meantime, and then when they start up again. So, come on up.
I'm the Deborah of the three names he listed. our group has been coming together for about a year and a half now, and we have a variety of people that come. When we're all there, there's about 18 of us. We had a few move away this summer. Our goal, we're going to be one of the groups that kind of takes a hold, because our group has decided they want to participate in Alpha. And so we're going to help. Our group is also going to help cook some of the meals, and so we'll still get together to do that. But so we will be starting up officially in December, the first week of December. And our goal in our home group, Tim and I both lead it, and it's our focus is from Hebrews 10, 22 to 25. And you'll hear words in there like, come together with a sincere heart. Come to God with a sincere heart. Hold unswervingly to the hope which we profess. Come and spur one another on, encourage one another. That gives you the focus of our group. It is discipleship, and it is trying to help each other in our accountability as we grow in this faith walk together. And that's what we aim to do.
Hi, I'm Gloria. And the Grove group, which has a very fancy title because I live on Maria Grove, is meets on a Tuesday usually, and we've been meeting for a long time actually, on and off with various groups. I looked up something before I came this morning, and I found a quote about a community, and it's from Rick Warren. It says, "We are created for community. We are fashioned for fellowship, and we are formed for a family. None of us can fulfill God's purposes by ourselves." And I thought that kind of summed up what we feel about our Tuesday night group, about the Grove group. We are a community. We have a lot of fun together. We're a fellowship. We share. We love each other. We carry each other's burdens. We're a family. We explain and share stuff that sometimes we wouldn't share anywhere else. And we are trying to fulfill God's purpose for ourselves. And we do that through study, but in other ways as well. We've studied various subjects and have done the convergence with the rest of the group of the church over the last year and done various other Bible studies. But mostly I think we grow. Sometimes I think we grow around the dining table before we come together for our study, because that's when we get to know each other and share and listen to the little things in each other's lives. We laugh, we eat, we pray, and we share and we study. I also found in Acts, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And I have to confess that the last time we broke bread together, it was in the form of a very, very long banana split, which we did together. But we did it with joy and with sincere hearts. And if you ever think of coming to the Grove group, we promise you the food will be good. just by way of what we're doing, we decided we would join Alpha, and most of us are going to be going on a Wednesday night to Alpha. But every one Tuesday a month, we will be meeting, and it'll be the Tuesday evening before we, as a group, do the meal for Alpha the next day. So we will be meeting officially on the 24th of September, if anybody's interested in coming out then. And they can always speak to me and find out the other dates. We just didn't want to break the fellowship over the entire season till Christmas. Otherwise, we will be having our big Christmas get-together in December. And otherwise, we'll meet three times.
I'm going to be much shorter because I headed back. Our group is here at Thursday morning at, well, between 9:30 and 10 we start. The coffeeholics start at 9. We're not quitting during Alpha. We're going to continue doing it. We do studies, prayer. We have a really nice sort of country-ish worship period. And we're also, actually, most of us going to Alpha, so does that make us more spiritual? Oh, well, I tried. Anyway, that's it.
Okay, now, there we go, we'll do this. This is something that helps someone who's hearing impaired in our church, and so why we take it on and put it off is that we help Crystal to hear the message and hear what we're saying. So I'm just asking for your patience in when we're taking it off and putting it on. You know what we're doing. Okay? So one of the things that I would say, because I am the worship leader for the Thursday group, is that my dad taught me when I was quite young, there's two kinds of good music in the world. That's right. Country and Western, and other than that, no. Anyway, we're going to invite up somebody who doesn't believe that, who is the head of our worship teams and sort of heads up the worship schedule and the people, and that's Mark Blanchard, and he's going to share a little bit about the worship teams in the Vineyard. Just hold it.
Awesome. Thanks, Barry. Yeah, so today I came in a little bit late into church, and how many of you ever done that? But it was so cool. Sometimes I love hearing the worship out in the parking lot as you're coming in. So, man, that sounds like pretty good music going on in there, right? So I just feel we're really blessed here. Before I go into what coming up here, I just want to acknowledge, every worship person that we have in this church. And I want to thank Terry and Teresa Stauffer, and also Ben and Katie Cricken. Pete Bowen, who's not here today, he's been helping us with violin, and Dave Miller. So those have been some people that have been helping us out for the last year, like really jumping on board. And that's been awesome. And I want to thank everyone else, Mike Wilkinson, Chelsea Wilkinson, Lorelei Franzen, Teresa Langford, Barry Hall, Jeff Fleming, Patrick Cardell, Wes Wilkinson, and today we had Stephanie actually playing with us too, which was awesome. Didn't she do a great job? Terry Somerville, and then myself and Jerry Jean. And I was thinking, man, that's like a quarter of our congregation right there, right? Like we're pretty blessed here. So I think it's really awesome that we have what we have. But also the heart of what we have too, right? Because it's not just about numbers and talent and everything else. I really feel blessed to be a part of a church where I believe we strive for an authentic worship experience. And it's really good. It's really nice to be a part of that. And then not only that, if we're hard up for a worship leader, like after all of that, we can call on Barry Cardell, get a country flavor, you know? Yeah. I also want to acknowledge our sound and media team, Lee Bishop, Corey Muller, David Tazumi, Paul Melanson, and on occasion we get Ben Cricken, Terry Stauffer, and Tim Calvert also helping us with that. So we're really covered well on the back end. So with all of that, would we be looking for more? The answer is yes, right? Because anything that's healthy, I believe, is always growing. Right? And people move on too. And so I just want to throw it out there. If you have an interest, if you have a heart to be involved with worship, I want to have a conversation with you. Talk to me about it. We want you to be a part of what we're doing. So my contact info is available in the bulletin. I don't have any like special plans or anything that I can announce for this year, but what was coming to me was, let's go deeper. Right? Like, let's not just grow numbers-wise and do more musically, but with worship, it's all about going deeper, right? So that's kind of what's coming to me, and so thanks. If you have a heart for that, if you want to talk to me about that, please. I am in the church directory. Thanks.
Okay, with that, I'm going to hand it over to my wife for a while, and she's going to talk to you about a number of things and invite some other people up.
I'm kind of shy. I don't like to talk much. I might be, Terry. All right, the first thing on the list that I've been given to talk about is restoring ancient grace. So Restoring Ancient Grace is our evening service that we started 3 months ago. We've had three services. This one just meant, let me think. I think that's three. We're coming on to four. I'm not even going to try to count. It's four. And number one is I just want to say, why the name Restoring Ancient Grace? And I actually bounced this off a few people and said, well, it was actually Jeff's fault. Jeff said, what are you going to name it? And I went, huh? Name it? So then I started really thinking about naming it. And the reason was restoring is that I actually believe before he said that, that God is restoring back to the vineyard what he breathed in the conception of who we are. And that we were a people who were excited to be part of doing the works of Jesus and modeling in this world and modeling his word. Ancient, there's nothing new under the sun. Whenever anything starts up, everyone wants to come up with this jazzy, new, wonderful name that says, we are new and nothing's happened before and you should come to this because it's going to be amazing. It's not. It's ancient. I wanted it to say ancient because there's nothing new under the sun. Everything comes from the Alpha, our Father, the Jesus, the Spirit, who was there from the beginning, so that we might be looking a little different, but there's nothing new that's in God's perspective. And grace. And grace has to be there because our God is such an amazing God. Through what Jesus did on the cross for us, a name cannot be a name without having just that word grace is so packed full of words and I guess praise that I have towards our Lord and Savior. And so it had to be in there. So that's why we're restoring ancient grace. And I believe the book study Convergence has been a tool for the messages that have been spoken to me in the, for the evening service. Woven throughout every evening service is one or two disciplines that Jesus modeled, one or two gifts that Jesus modeled, and with the fruit that Jesus modeled. And we're taking that into the message, and we might not point it out specifically, we might, but it has to be woven through because the evening services is about, it's a lot of the prophetic and prayer and ministry and worship that goes on there, but it has to be about modeling him. Okay, now out of the convergence studies, we had the three different dinners, the love dinners, the, for those who don't know, but it's a, people have love gifts. So they love to love on people in doing services. And we had the word gifts, and that's, you know, knowledge, teaching, that they just have this gift within them, or the power gifts, so they believe in prayer, intercessory. So for those who weren't part of the study, so we had three different dinners, and we grouped those people together. And I headed up the power gifts dinner, and I have a whole bunch of people that signed up because we are in the moment of putting together a module for teaching people to pray. And so I have about 18 or 20 people that have signed up because they want to learn how to pray for people. So I have Kathy Hyde. Am I here today? Anyhow, she is, her and I are meeting to go and put together some prayer training modules for you guys. And there will be, when it's put together, an email going out. And there's also the prophetic. How do we hear the voice of God? That's going to be a totally different training time. It's probably going to be over an eight-week span and in the evening to meet, and it'll build on each other. And I will be contacting the names that I have that have signed up for that. And the evening service is going to be used as your practice grounds. So once we go through these trainings, we are going to be asking you to let's practice what we've learned. So I think that was it for Restoring Ancient Grace. Now I have Ben. Benjamin. Is that your real name, Benjamin, or is it Ben? Okay.
Hi. My voice is louder than Nancy's. Holy moly. Okay. So, Katie, my lovely wife, and I... And our auntie, where'd she go? Oh, there she is. You're hidden from view, clones. sorry, she has a twin. Annie Tanya have been doing worship. She won't be at the next one because you're leading the women's something. I don't know. She's doing other music stuff, so she's abandoned us. No, I'm just kidding. She just can't focus on too many things at once. But she's been amazing. And and Katie and I will be doing worship. What the heart that us three have been trying to cultivate for the worship is focusing on worshiping Jesus. So we have a lot of different songs that we sing when we're worshiping. A lot of them are kind of a reassurance of the promises God has. But what we like to focus on during Restoring Ancient Grace is a lifting up of praise. One of the biggest things, and we've sung this song many times, is the Revelation song, knowing that those four living creatures that stand around the throne, digging in and just holy, 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 declaring who God is, how great he is. Holy means set apart, other, just alien, foreign, amazing, just like, oof. And it's all they can say. And they're not forced to stay there, those four living creatures in Revelation. If you don't know what I'm talking about, read it. It's crazy. It's fun. But nobody makes them stay. They're so enamored, so in awe with who God is, that all they can do is stand there and worship him for however long he's been around. And we all know he's eternal. So they've been eternally there worshiping him. And so that's our heart in that. And that's what we want to do. And that's pretty much it. I don't know. Any questions? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Thanks, guys. Oh, wait. Youth. Katie, get up here. So now we're going to talk about something totally different. Well, still like worship, but with younger people. Anyway. So, Katie is going to kind of introduce our heart behind what we're doing with youth. And then I will talk about what we'll be teaching, blah, 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 the thing. Anyway, here's Katie.
Hello. I didn't know I was introducing till this morning, but we're going to talk about just what our heart is for the youth. And primarily, we want kids to come here and just learn about God's love for them, just this radical love that he has. And we believe that's the foundation of everything, just the love that he has. And we want them to come and experience it that as well and just know the reality of that in their lives. So we want them to come and have that community with one another and yeah, to be loved by Ben and I as well, because we love your children, and we want them to go out as well and proclaim that love to other people. So missions and just being in their schools and just showing that love and bringing new kids in and just yeah, loving them. So that's the whole thing.
Yeah. So it's interesting because we were praying about it and it was just like it came back to the mission statement to know and make known the love of Christ, the unsurpassable love of Christ. And so we think that sometimes, you know, kids go to, I'm going to move this. This is annoying me. Kids go to a youth group and it's just, you know, they're forced. We know kids don't have a lot of like agency, personal agency in what they have to do. So a lot of times they're forced to come, but we want to make sure that the kids that come, whether they want to be there or not, they can look back on the time they spent with Katie and I. And they can say, that is a time where I experienced what God has for me. And that is what I want. And even if they wander, they can come back to that moment. And hopefully we're aiming for more of a discipleship where kids can come and not just hear Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you over and over, but Jesus loves you. Why does that matter? What do we do with that knowledge? How then must we live? You know, like, what do we do? And showing them kind of the more, not, I don't want to say radical, but the more forward moving side of following Christ. It's not passive. Yes, Jesus loves you, but there's a choice to be made. There's discipline to be had. There's personal character and integrity that needs to be built. But it's all on, as Katie said, the foundation of love. So if you do not know how much God loves you, you cannot know how much he loves others, and you will not step out to love those people. So the core of what we're teaching is God's love for each individual child. And then by extension, if you know how much you are loved, then you know how much he loves others, and you can't help but reach out. So that's the goal. That's the mindset, I guess, behind it. And then teaching wise, so as always, we have kind of a core, as always,
we've done it once before. So like, oh, for crying out loud. Anyway, but we have 1 Corinthians 13, so obviously, love. That is
what we base everything on. I sit the kids down. I read it to them. I look at them sternly and I talk about love for 15 minutes and feed them freezies. It's a good time. But we're going to do that. And then we're going to kind of suss out where our group is from there. We haven't found a real solid curriculum just because we have such a variable age range of kids. But we're going to be looking for something that we can walk through with them, maybe a book or something that the parents could walk through as well with us. But we're going to be kind of figuring that out because we just started, like I said, we've only had 7 sessions. We're going to be starting to do it every week, Tuesday at 6 o'clock. And we're only going to be going till 7:30 instead of 8, just because it will be a school night. So we're going to do an hour and a half, and hopefully that will kind of help kids be able to wind down easier when they come home. We're thinking of you guys with all your child care needs. Anyway, so that's going to be what we're doing. No questions, but ages 9 to 14. Sorry, thank you. Ages 9 to 14 is what we have. If you're younger than that, I'm sorry. We can't take anyone younger than that. And if you're older than that, we may eventually have a senior youth group, but right now we just don't have the amount of kids in that age range to support it. But Katie and I would love to have, if an older kid is interested in learning more about the Lord and coming and talking to us, Katie and I, our home is open always to anybody who wants to come talk to us and
what?
And helpers. Sorry, we need helpers. This is the final thing. This is going to be a more intense moment, not that the rest hasn't been, because, you know, Jesus is an intense guy. Barry's pinching his forehead like, finish, Ben, for the love. I'm going to take a pause for like 20 seconds. Is the anxiety gone? I'm reading into it. I'm seeing it. I'm watching it happen. So, I mean, it's happened. Let's move forward. Anyway, so volunteers, we want people who are committed to Christ and nothing else. Well, just kidding. But growing, moving forward in your relationship with Jesus. Stagnation in an individual's life is something that kids can smell out. I had youth leaders when I was a kid, and I knew they didn't care. Why would I care? Why would I take you seriously? Why would your opinion matter at all? So we know how perceptive kids are. And so if you want to volunteer with the youth group, there's an expectation from us that you'll treat it as seriously as coming and speaking in front of this whole congregation every time you show up, because that's the responsibility that's there. You're representing Christ to these kids. So if you are interested in volunteering, just know that if you feel like it's just too much or there's too much intensity, our heart behind it is that we're taking these kids seriously. So we don't want you to be hurt if we're like, hey, what about this? And we're bringing things up and pointing things out, or just saying, you know, maybe wait until a time where you've grown to the point of actually caring. We don't want just people who can fill positions. We want people who have a heart for the kids. So that's where we're at with that. Anyway, thanks, guys.
Hey, I've been asked to speak on the different prayer ministries in the church. And for some people who aren't, their first love isn't waking up going, oh, I can't wait to pray, then this might not be interesting to you. But there are people that contact me and say, you know, I had one particular person, not mentioning anyone like Diane, who said, I just feel like I'm going to burst because I have so much in me and I want to pray. I want to intercede. I want to pray. And so we're hoping to get a group together that can pray with Diane and others with the same kind of heart. And it will be an after work thing. We have a daytime, let's just start with the beginning. We have our email prayer chain. Karen Somerville, Karen Melanson. Can you just stand up? Karen looks after our emails, our prayer emails. And so if we have a prayer request and we say, who can we give that to give it to our prayer team who is praying into whatever she put, Karen is the person who you would contact. Her email address is in the bulletin. But there's one thing that I would ask. If you ever send Karen an email saying, can you pray for, if it's yourself, obviously you're giving permission. She's going to be giving it to people. And there are some people, like if I said, well, my Aunt Catherine, I would like you to pray for, but I haven't gotten her permission to put her on the prayer chain. And now it's not just giving it to Karen. Karen's giving it to multiple people, not even in Campbell River. There's some that get it from far. So she's going to be handing that out. Make sure if it's not you that is personally being emailed about, put in the front of the email, I have been given permission. Can you pray? And then let her know what the prayer request is so that we can honor people and respect people of what information we are putting out there. So Karen heads that up. We have our Sunday morning prayer in the kitchen. And it's only a 15-minute prayer prior to the service. But if you are involved in, like anybody can be part of that. But if you are involved in children's church, in music ministry, in the speaking, in the sharing, in counting offering, in anything, it is so good to be part of that. And I invite you to come early and be part of that prayer where we pray for the service and for the day. And our home groups. Our home groups are a vital area where we encourage prayer. We encourage praying for one another. We encourage have the whole posture of prayer. When we are in our community groups, in our home groups, then throughout the whole time, I'm kind of, even at our coffee, I go to the Grove, and whenever we're even around the table, and you sit there and you listen to each other's hearts, and you listen to each other's stories, in my head, it's always that, you know, at the end, we're going to be praying. And so this is a good prayer moment, or this is a good prayer subject, this is a good prayer place to lift up someone in prayer. So I know I mentally go and have in my head, we need to pray for. So prayer happens in our community groups. And next is crafted prayer. I know this is during the day, and actually many people are afraid of prayer, but if just because they're afraid that they, I don't know what it is. I used to have the same thing, so I should know what it is. But just the sense of maybe I don't hear from God, or maybe I won't get something, or maybe I don't use the right words, or maybe, you know, all that is the lies from Satan, because prayer is talking to God. So everyone in this room knows how to talk. Everyone. And so you already are ahead of the game for being able to be part of a prayer group. So in crafted prayer, we meet at 11. We encourage people to come worshiped up. Whether you're driving here, because we're out in the portable, be praying in tongues the whole way. If you don't pray in tongues, put on your worship music and worship the whole way. And when you get to the portable, you're in a place and in a posture where you're saying, I want to hear. And then we just have like a 10, 15 second opening prayer. And then we have silence for 20 minutes. Those 20 minutes used to seem like hours when we started. Now it seems like 2 minutes. And so we have 20 minutes of silence, and we write down what we think we are hearing. And every time you always think, oh, well, how could this be God? And why? How do I know God's saying this? But everybody in the room has been quiet for 20 minutes and writing down their pictures, their scriptures, their words, impressions. And then we share after the 20 minutes what we got. You know, is it 4 years now? For 4 years, every Friday, he has done the exact same thing. We have a completely different message, And every single one of us got the same message, either using different scriptures, pointing the same directions, visions pointing the same direction, and then we craft a prayer. That's why it's called crafted prayers. Craft prayers of what God has shared with us. And so then we pray for the church. We pray for you guys. We pray for the direction God has given us. So I invite you, if somebody says, yeah, I mean, if you're in your thoughts, you hear, well, I don't really know how to pray, or what if I can't hear God? Are you going to listen to your heart that wanted to go, but then says can't? And who is the person who says you can't? And so are you going to listen to our enemy that keeps you away from prayer, or are you going to listen and press in and go past your fears, because they will go away, especially once you've been blown away, you know, week after week after week of God speaking. It's quite miraculous. So those are the different areas that we have in prayer, and really hoping to send out an email shortly to go and ask if there's anybody who's interested in just interceding and intercessory prayer. And in the meantime, during lunch, if Diane want to say who you are, want to wave your hand around. There you go. That's Diane, for anybody who doesn't know. Talk to her. Ask her what her heart is. Ask her when she's available. Maybe before, I won't even have to send out an email except for to tell you where to meet them. So, Children's Church, that's next on the list. Okay, as you know from my announcement this morning, we have two classes. And we have two classes because that's all we really need for right now, and the space we only have for right now. But my heart has been, and I've said this at every AGM, at every kickoff Sunday, the same thing. I want, my heart's desire is that every child that is in this place will know the love of God, will feel this place is safe. And I said, and yes, we are going to be teaching them the scripture. Yes, we're going to teach them how to pray. Yes, we are doing all of that. But you know what is even more important? Through that praying for them, through that teaching them scriptures, through all of this stuff, is to know that this is a safe place. And this is a place that they can come to. Because every single one of our kids, including my own, have left home. And they're going to find themselves at some point along the way, even if they choose not to go to church. Some of my kids do and some don't. But they all will know if they are in trouble, if they hit a hard place, the church is a safe place to go to. The scripture is a safe place to get some direction. And that is what I want them to know, that the church is safe. They are loved. It's a place that they can come back to. It's their home grounds. And so whatever the curriculum is, and yes, it's biblical, and yes, it's scriptural, whatever the crafts or whatever the prayer, whatever it is, yes, I'm telling you, we do teach the kids about Jesus. We teach the kids about what Jesus did on the cross and his resurrection. But number one is, do my kids feel loved? Is this a safe place for them? And we want to instill that deep within them all the way through, because Jesus is safe. And we do have a nursery as well upstairs that usually has two people manning our children. And that's a silly name, manning our children. Looking after our children and our babies. And that is actually not something that's happened for many, many years. It's been, you know, look after your own baby. But now we have people who have the opportunity to put their children with some safe people, their babies with some safe people, and be able to come and enjoy the service. Future dreams. I ran across this, and I know I've told Norm Herbin about this multiple times. you know that portable that's out there? And I want to say it out loud because maybe somebody who has some construction kind of brain, which I don't, so it's just a dream and I can't do it. I just always think that that portable should look like an ark. The outside of it, somebody should go out there and do something so that when the kids go there, they don't go with this old portable. They go to this ark. And they climb up into the ark. Well, I climb up to the steps. And so I have been stating that for a few years that I think our portable should look like an ark. I can do zippity-doo-dah about it, but somebody might be able to, and somebody might just grab that dream and come to me one day. And then I'll go to the leadership team and say, it's a possibility. Can we have money? All right. That's our children's ministry. Dance for Him. I actually, Deborah Rousseau, who heads up our Dance for Him, is in South Africa. And I sent her a little text and asked her to send me back what, if she was here, what would she say? It's going to be really hard to read because I couldn't get it in a smaller font. So this from South Africa, this is how big it has to be. So during the past year, we've been blessed to offer 2 8-week Dance for Him classes. The central focus is worship with the whole heart and with our whole being. Our series incorporates ASL signing, flags, and dance basics. If you are an adult and curious about exploring, enhancing your worship experience in a safe and supportive environment, consider joining us for the spring series. The classes will enable you to experience a renewed and expanded sense of freedom in worship. Come and dance for Him. There already is a wait list. There is a wait list actually already for the next class. And if you're interested, it requires a commitment for the full 8 weeks. So that she does say if you can't come to the first one, then you can't come to the rest of them. And if you can't say, I'm going to be there for 8 weeks, she says maybe the next class, it might be something that you can devote 8 weeks to. And so as this is not a drop-in class, each class builds on the next. Let Nancy, me, know if you want us to either keep or replace your name, or place your name on the wait list for the spring classes. Classes are likely to be on Sunday afternoons, and each class is 2 hours long. The dates will be communicated closer to the time. And the reason that she picks the days that works for her and Sunday afternoon, she actually lives in Sayward. And she drives here and went on a Sunday, comes to church, spends all day, waits for the class, goes to the class, and then drives home. So it's a that through the winter months, she was going to have a class, and I actually asked her not to because I don't want her driving when it's icy and snowy out there. So in the spring, she's going to have another class. Soup Sunday. Soup Sunday is happening again next month. So October to June, first Sunday of every month, we have a Soup Sunday. And I have been very impressed with all of you guys. I have been organizing it by sending the emails in and out and asking what each person wants to bring, and it's just soup and buns. And we have a vegetarian option, we have a gluten-free option, and then we have, it doesn't really matter what you put in it, option. And then we have buns, and we have gluten-free options for the buns. And I actually thought when I was starting the Soup Sunday that I was going to be cooking a lot. So I wasn't sure how much I wanted to engage in that, organizing it. But out of the whole year, I only cooked one soup because all you guys and gals, probably mostly gals and guys, were amazing. And I just want to say thank you. And yes, we are going to continue doing that in October. And the only reason not September is because we have our lunch today. My last time, food pantry. Anybody here who does not know we have a food pantry? Okay, We have a food pantry. Still going. Gordon Bjorgen is the person who stocks it, looks after it. When money comes in, the offering for it, buys things for it. Very the people who give the food out during the week when they come and visit us when we're in the office. But our name, Camel River Vineyard, and the food pantry is in every nonprofit in Camel River. It's with the Ministry of Social Services, the Ministry of Children and Family. It's in the shelters. It's everywhere. So we get lots of phone calls from all these places saying, we have some people that are in need. Can you help? And it's been a blessing to help. So next is Karen and Cassandra. If you could come up, because we're going to be talking about, you're going to be talking, or about, no. Cassandra is a person who's got a huge gift, a love gift, and she gives and 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 gives. And her, she has a beautiful heart, and so she's going to come up because she doesn't speak publicly, but we want to see her face. And Karen is going to speak for the grass. Our grassroots dinners. Where is Karen? She was sitting back there, and she's Karen. Can somebody run in there? I was going to, but that would be bad.
Thank you. Are you changing my slide? I get my own personal slide. Oh, do I? Okay. I asked Cassandra to join me today because the inception of Grassroots Kind Hearts is hers. But as a church, we've been helping out for 2 years, almost 2 years, I think it is. Yeah. So we cook once a month, second Thursday of the month, and this started 2 years ago because I saw Cassandra doing so much, feeding the homeless downtown. So I'll just back up a little bit. Does everybody here know what Grassroots?
Family and friends.
Family and friends. Cooking for family and friends downtown. Anybody not know what Grassroots really is? Because I'll just start rambling on thinking everybody's on board with what I'm talking about. Grassroots Kind Hearts is a society that Cassandra started to feed the homeless, family and friends downtown every night of the week, month after month, year after year. How many years now, Cassandra?
We're going on 5.
5 years. So just because we're doing it once a month doesn't mean it's just happening once a month. Every night of the week, people need to be fed downtown because there's a need for food. There's poverty, there's people living check to check, their next check could be their last check, there's a need, there's the working poor, so feeding people has been a tremendous help to people that live downtown. So we do it once a month. I wish we could do more, but we don't seem to have enough help sometimes. It costs money to make good food as well. We serve out of the Radiant Life Church downtown, which is a blessing to have an indoor space, especially during the winter months. They were feeding the poor or the family and friends outside for how many years? Three? 3 years. They fed them outside in the worst weather. So Radiant Life Church has allowed us to use their space, but we can't use the kitchen down there. So we come here once a month, and we cook in our kitchen, and then we take the food downtown and set up there. We could use more help on our once a month. Sometimes it's just myself and a few others. We need help serving. So if you can't come and help cook, you could come help serve. We serve at 5 o'clock. We've usually wrapped up by 6 o'clock. We clean up and do some dishes. You could donate money because good food costs money. You could put it in the tithing basket. You get a tax receipt. You could purchase food and just give it to me or come here and help cook it. You usually need help from 11 o'clock until 5. We leave here at 4:45. And I always need desserts made. If you want to just drop me a line and say, hey, I can make some dessert or I can help you with your menu, I post it on our Facebook page. And Cassandra has a great Facebook page. If you would go on Facebook and like Grassroots Kind Hearts, you can see the menu, a page and a group. Yeah, so check it out on Facebook. You can see the menu that's happening week to week. And if you want to do it as an individual, it's welcomed to do that. Go down and help serve. Another group of us go on Monday nights. Every Monday night, we go down and we help serve the dinner and clean up. So if you want to help there, or any night of the week, they need help. Is there anything you want to add to that? No? And I just think Cassandra's a real blessing to the community downtown, that she saw this need to feed family and friends, and she has been doing it for 5 years, and she did it alone for a very long time. So I just hope and pray that more people can see that need and have compassion and help out as well. Okay? So this Thursday, I'm cooking spaghetti here and Caesar salad and garlic bread, and we'll do desserts. So if anybody wants to help out or send some food, I'd be really happy to have that. Joining me.
And I'm going to actually put all of your guys's hearts and minds at ease, because we've done there's been a lot of people that have shared, and it's actually 15 minutes over our usual end time, so I'm going to save sharing the overall vision of the church in a sermon. I'll do that next week, okay? How many of you agree with me on that front? Okay, so we're not going to do that today. We'll do some of that tomorrow. But let's all stand up. Okay, we're going to pray anyway. I'm all done, so we don't need it on, and I'll take this off. Actually, having it go through your shirt is quite a ordeal. People told me to do it that way because it was bothering them that the wire was hanging out. There we go. There we go. Okay. Yeah, we're just going to... Let's just bow our heads and pray. And you know, one of the things I'm always astounded by is how many people are actually doing things, how much is actually happening here in this little body. And we just want to thank the Lord for it. And there's so much more that's happening. I think about Cal France and Grace Life Ministries and the mission to India. I think about Terry Somerville and Spirit FM and the mission to Campbell River, the radio station that we have as part of, you know, the people that are part of this body. So let's just bow our heads now. Father in heaven, we lift up this coming year to you. We love you, Lord. We want to give you glory. We want to follow after you. We pray, Lord, that this coming year you would like that pillar of smoke and like the pillar of fire at night, Lord, that you would go ahead of us with power. You would blaze the trail and we can see where you're going and we would follow you as a congregation. I pray for the life of the Spirit, the favor of God, and for the fruit of ministry to just begin to pop up all over this church and throughout Campbell River because of your heart, your will, and we follow after you. We pray it all in Jesus' name.
And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless.